Maya.
Yeah.
Justin's out. Did you happen to watch Clon 2, Riley Soloner's Clon 2 blending of clowning, comedy, and performance art last night on CGP on MNN?
I absolutely wish I did. I'm going to absolutely watch when it comes out. I hosted an open mic that goes to like 11, 11:30.
Listen, though. Everyone who participates in this podcast does not watch the television show connected to the podcast. It's shaking my confidence, Maya.
It's not true.
It is true.
It's just not true.
Okay. All right. We'll deal with it later. Let's start the show. I'm tired of sitting around the house. I'm tired of sitting around. Hi, everybody. Chris Gethard here. This is the CGP podcast. This is the companion podcast to the CGP television show on public access every Wednesday night that no one involved in the podcast even watches. So you don't have to either. But if you listen to this and watch both, it's a pretty good experience that shows you the comedy scene at large. Justin Linville is usually my co-host. I kicked him out at the end of last week's episode. He kept interrupting callers. I said I was going to kick everybody out. I ended the show alone in something of an existential breakdown. Justin did not come back. Kicked his ass out. Haven't heard or seen him since. Maya, that means you're bumped up to the co. You're usually his co-host. This means you're my co-host this week. How are you feeling about this responsibility?
I'm both simultaneously like so excited and so tired.
Oh, tired.
Yeah, so tired.
Immediately. Left turn.
Dealing with me for 45 seconds has left you tired.
Yeah. No, just kidding. Just kidding.
Seems serious.
It's actually quite kidding. It is.
Would you like to introduce?
Yeah, I would really love to.
Who's filling in for you as co-host? I'm going to go ahead and tell you all I have some major qualms with this. Please introduce your co-host.
So my co-host, I put a call out to the public. Mm-hmm. I saw the young faces of a generation and no one was fit for the job. And then I looked to my left, or this is my right.
Stage left.
And I found Harry Nelson.
Hi, everybody. It's me.
He was there all along.
Harry, who's usually producing our show on the other side of the glass, but is now...
I'm in the room, baby.
Is now, he's put in notice, leaving Earwolf to move to L.A.
I'm out of here.
And now he doesn't give a shit, so he's going to try to horn in and get a last little bit of spotlight on himself.
That's like
exactly
he's
been trying to
happening.
Do on Beautiful Anonymous for years.
Yep, here I
now
am.
You're just owning it, at least.
Yeah. Welcome to me.
Yes, Harry's having major senioritis.
I'm feeling great.
Hanging from the rafters.
Thanks for having me, Maya.
Of course. I'm so happy to have you, Harry.
Good. I'm also still producing the show. I got a laptop here.
Oh, really? You're not just running 7 conflicting soundboards?
No.
Like Justin usually does?
No.
Different bots. The Gethard bot, Griffin Newman bot, Mary Houlihan bot. Who else do we have?
Justin bot.
Yeah.
And then we had auditions. We're waiting to hear who else will become a bot.
Yeah. We're just kind of waiting on that one.
Let's welcome our guests today. The host of Fake the Nation here on Earwolf.
Ooh.
Nagin Farsad. I don't know about you. When they started Earwolf New York, I thought it was going to be a huge community of comedians in and out like it is in L.A.
Yeah.
It really has just come down to you and I.
Yeah.
We're like the only two people who host comedy podcasts.
Wait, Harry, is that true? Is it just me and Chris?
On the comedy side.
On the comedy side, yeah. I mean, Jonathan Van Ness is around every once in a while, but he's mostly talking to like survivors of mass shootings and stuff.
Right. Making it extra fun.
And my show's barely comedy at this point. And you got a lot of politics
to deal
with.
Yeah. It's not the same. But that's okay. Well, New York is doing its own flavor.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's true. I'm so happy you're here.
I'm so glad to be here.
You do have a connection to the CGP project way back in episode 2 of the TV
show.
Yes. Keith Haskell made an episode where he made 2 little mini docs, and one of them was him asking his father to give him the sex talk.
And it was rather traumatizing.
It was. I viewed it, and his wife viewed it, and both of them, Keith's one of my best friends, both of us said, Keith, there is some stuff in this that you're going to get crushed for. Please edit it out. And instead, in a very smart move, he brought you and a few other comedians in to kind of nail him on the spot, which I think alleviated the tension.
Yes. We criticized Keith to his face on camera
over and over again.
Over and over again. Why did you do this to your father? And you can see that online. Of course, if you are affiliated with the show, continue to not watch it.
Mm-hmm. No, I would.
But
please,
everybody else.
Wait, hold on.
Thank you so much, Nagin.
Hold on. It's okay. No
she
one's
watches
watching it.
She watches it.
No
yes,
one
I do.
Watches it. We got to get people watching this thing or else it's going to die. I'm going to go ahead and let you know. I've scheduled them into April and I'm stopping because we got to get people watching this thing or else I got to can't ask people to keep working this hard on it, but we'll get there.
We'll organize.
Well, yeah.
See, a movement yeah. starts with one person.
Yeah. Step one, get the people in this room to actually check it out once in a goddamn while.
A movement starts with a desperate plea on a podcast.
Yes, me begging people, I'm making direct eye contact. Harry, have you ever watched an episode?
Yeah.
Which one?
I've watched several.
Name them.
I watched Martin Abano's first episode. I watched Carmen's first episode.
Oh, really? So you
Klon,
haven't watched one
I saw
in five Klon, or six
Klon
months.
One.
It's been a solid 5 months
I love
since
Klon
you checked one out.
Oh,
you're just
looking
gonna keep saying
to,
what you're saying. You're ignoring.
Forward to seeing Klon
so
too.
Happy to have our other guest here today. This is someone I've admired from afar for a few years now. I know I was. I feel like I've now moved on to sort of just like storytelling about what it's like to have a kid, and I'm doing more like lame material because I'm a lamer person. But back in the day, I was,
you're terrible.
Well, it's true. It's true.
Glad you're saying it.
Back in the day, I was known as a very weird performance arty Adderall addicted public access guy, and I started getting links to an article. I forget where it was, maybe in Vulture, about a show called Hell Trap Nightmare.
Oh.
And then I've had other people in my life reach out to me who are Chicago based, Spencer Parsons, who we mentioned earlier. People who have said you in particular would really love Hell Trap Nightmare, and I have checked it out, followed it from afar. It's disturbing and disgusting comedy, I would say.
Uh-huh.
We've never actually met face to face, but I think that's fair. I asked you before how you wanted to be referred to. You gave me no answer. I'll say Sarah okay. Squirm, which
yeah,
is the stage
good.
Name.
Yeah.
Sarah Squirm, Hell Trap Nightmare. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So nice to meet you after all this time.
I know. I used to watch, when I was like 18, 19, I used to watch the Chris Gethard show all the time.
I get this a lot.
It's both
flattering and terrifying.
Sure. Well, but you know, 18, 19 was what, yesterday?
Yeah, exactly.
Look at me, I'm a spring chicken.
No, that is a nice thing to hear, because there's a lot of comedians who tell me that. And that's a good thing. As I fade away into the sunset, to know there's people carrying the torch.
Wow!
It's true.
He's really having an existential crisis.
How many
Welcome
weeks?
To the podcast.
This has only been getting more honest over the recent weeks. It's true. Now, Sarah, because I follow you and all your Hell Trap compatriots, and I interacted with you for the first time really only a few months ago, because you put up something that I found imagery-wise, visually, so awful that I left a comment that said this almost made me throw up, and I meant it.
Wait, which one was
it
that
was
again?
Something with a bunch of meat. It was
Playaway?
One of your meat things.
Oh, was it? Yeah, because I think maybe it was the meat roll-ups.
Oh, that's what
meat
it was.
By
meat
by the foot.
Meat by the foot.
I photoshopped meat textures onto, you know, meat, you know, fruit roll-ups and fruit by the foot. I think it speaks for itself.
And
there was a lot of like blood splatter flourishes too.
It was just, you know, looking at it, I was like, what is this? And then when it became clear it was a meat-based fruit roll-up, I had an instinctive just like, ugh.
Do you want me to tell you? It's actually grosser than that image.
Mm-hmm.
Should I tell you what? It gets worse from
I'm
here.
Into it.
I mean, it's kind of early to be talking about this kind of stuff. Well, because it's from...
It's 2:30 p.m.
Is it?
Huh?
I did a really funny facial expression that
yeah,
I guess people
really
can't
funny.
You know, sort of
the noise,
see.
The noise did match the expression. They get it.
You know the emoji where the eyes go in two different directions
uh-huh.
and then the tongue out?
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of... Well, it's so... I guess that image was from a PowerPoint performance that I did where... I say that my labia is so long and distended that in order to put it in a bathing suit, I would have to roll the labia up like meat roll-ups or meat by the foot.
Oh, in the room, people, on the other side of the glass, people awkwardly looking away. But
at least someone's laughing, for God's sake.
Isn't that how they open old-timey sardine cans?
Yes.
Like the same mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And
I'm going to take that. Thank you.
Use it.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
So if you thought the image itself was gross, the accompanying sort of meaning behind it.
Yeah, the backstory.
Is worse.
It's really,
worse.
Yeah, it really just adds another, a whole other layer And thank you for sharing it. And you guys all recently moved to Los Angeles, sunny
yeah,
Los Angeles.
We did.
You've been opening for Eric Andre. Seems like things are going great.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah, it's moving away from Chicago to Los Angeles feels bad. Mm-hmm. So for you to say things are looking great is really nice.
Good. Yes, you should know from the out, no matter how it feels on the inside, mm-hmm. from the outside, thumbs up.
And that's Woo. The only thing that matters.
Yeah.
Hey, cheers.
Welcome
I
to
want
the
a
social
cheers.
Media.
Cheers.
Wow, an official
Dude,
cheers.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Cheers to you.
All paper cups. Now, every single week on the show, it used to be called Justin's Bit of the Week. It was a bit he would prepare and I would not know anything about first. It has been changed to Planet Party Town. Maya, where are we at with Planet Party Town?
So last week, we established towards the end of Planet PPT, as we call it, Planet Party Town, that me and Justin were going to enter a Willy Wonka-funded contest to see who the best co-hosts in podcasting are. And so this is going to be a 3-episode miniseries for which we've become quite famous. I mean, we had a space theme.
Podcast in space.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think we're going to get it started. Who's ready?
Yay!
PPT!
Yeah,
America.
I'm into it.
Differences yeah. and conflict amongst these great fields of amber gold. Growing up in the heart of New York City.
You grew up on Long Island.
To me, America began in Times Square and ended in the East Village. But when me and my associate Justin were invited to participate in a contest for podcast co-hosts, I knew it was time for me to explore the rest of the country. While Justin insisted on taking a plane so he could play his favorite in-flight entertainment game, I decided to hit the wide-open roads with our producer, Harry. I was excited, but in a more real way, I was very nervous to expose myself to new ways of thinking and living. But I knew that it was my time to eat and pray, and most importantly, love. This is Eat, Pray, Maya.
Yay.
It's not what you know, it's just where you go. It's Planet Party Town.
I can't believe no one interrupted that entire time. That was gorgeous.
I thought I was supposed to be polite and not speaking.
Usually it's me just yelling, what is this? At least this one, it was clear.
Thank you.
The premise was more clear and digestible this week.
Let's eat, pray, Maya. What's
not to... It's yeah. snappy, to the point.
Better than all this nonsense, this top-loaded nonsense Justin Linville comes up with each week.
Well, I don't know. I don't know who to attribute it to at this point.
Yeah, it just kind of comes from our minds and hearts. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what are we doing? What is
oh,
this?
Oh, great. There's actually another... roll the tape.
Oh, God.
Somewhere deep in the swamps of South Carolina, Harry and I made our first stop. This was prompted by Harry telling me that I was, quote, way off course, and, quote, we shouldn't be in South Carolina. I never thought about it like that. I guess my life had been, quote, off course up until now. And my headspace was a, quote, South Carolina of sorts. A beautiful place with a tortured history. But I wanted to stop in South Carolina, because I knew there was someone there that exemplified the
That's
quality
a weird thing.
Of heat. A chef I read about in Dentists Weekly, named Daryl Halloween.
Daryl Halloween.
Wow. Beep, beep. Out of the car, Harry. Time to get out.
I need to stretch my old legs.
Yeah, I don't know how to drive. This is true. I don't have a permit, so you've been driving the whole way.
Yeah, and I haven't told you this, but I also don't have a permit.
Is that real?
Or a license, for that matter.
Yeah, I guess I don't have I have a non-driver's ID.
Okay, I'm just going to pause just to let the listener know. There was a pre-recorded section. Now they're talking in the room, and Maya did point at Sarah pretty desperately. I don't know what this is, but this is now being spoken aloud in the room. Okay, continue.
That's crazy. Thank you for risking our lives to drive.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
I love learning more about you. Anyway, where's this chef?
Okay, so basically, I read about this chef, Daryl Halloween, in Dentists Weekly. Apparently, he was voted dentist's favorite chef.
This is kind of a ripoff of Green Book.
Oh, God.
Anyway, continue.
Oh, God. But we're going to go to his diner and eat his diner food.
Yum.
Talk to him a little bit about what it means to be a person in modern America. So, knock. One second. Knock, knock.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to my restaurant.
Daryl, it's so lovely to meet you.
It's so great to meet you. It's me, Daryl Halloween.
You're so tall.
I am very tall. I'm wearing big, big shoes.
Good for you.
Thank you.
I always say, if you're going to be involved in an industry, you might as well be tall.
That, and it makes people really pay attention because I'm very powerful seeming.
Yes, I feel it right now. Harry, say hello to Daryl.
Hi, Daryl. How are you? Hope you can hear me up there. Just kidding.
Aha, I'm very tall.
Let's not be too cute about it.
That's hard for me.
Hey.
Well, Daryl, I wanted to see if you would make us your signature meal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit unclear to me why I need it, but I feel I need it. I feel I need your signature meal in order to learn an important thing.
Mine hasn't been on a bit of a self-discovery kick lately.
Yeah. I like reading books recently and talking.
That's really awesome. Well, Dentist Weekly actually loves my meals because my meals are really good for your teeth.
Yeah.
So do you guys want to try my signature dish that's really loved by dentists one and all?
Yes, we do.
Oh my God, awesome. Please take a seat. First of all, take a seat.
Thank you. Take a load off. Thank you.
You guys look tired.
I've been driving all day.
And I've been sitting the whole time.
We do have to set a time limit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Daryl, what's your signature meal?
Big bowl of milk. Really good for your teeth. And some
calcium.
Toothpicks to get stuff out from between your teeth. So drink up.
Gluck, 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 gluck.
Yum.
This was incredible. Daryl, I hate to be brash, but would you like to join us on our journey across America?
Yes. Oh my God. Thanks for inviting me.
Yay. Thank you.
Let's go.
It was making Daryl's signature meal that taught me the value of patience. Yes, I had learned a lesson. We all hopped in our 1967 Subaru Impreza and burned rubber all the way to Missoula, Montana. It was there where I wanted to stop and talk to someone that exemplified the quality of prey. BuzzFeed's Religious Person of the Year, the hilarious Kathy Ratatouille. As we entered her co-working space, Harry looked pissed. Okay, Daryl, Harry, we're here at Kathy Ratatouille's co-working space. So let's all be mindful that other people are working here. What's wrong, Harry?
I'm just tired.
I'm tired too, but I'm happy also.
It's not that I'm not happy.
Anyway.
Harry. What? Okay.
And it's time to... Hello? Hello? Kathy!
Hi, I'm Kathy Ratatouille.
It's so lovely to meet you. We've been corresponding over email.
We have. I tried to WhatsApp you, but you didn't accept my WhatsApp request.
I was forced to use email. I'm sorry.
And I don't like it because it doesn't have end-to-end encryption. And that's a tip from Kathy Ratatouille.
Wow, Kathy.
I'm already learning so much.
Me too, as well.
Oh, this is Daryl Halloween. Kathy Ratatouille, meet Daryl Halloween.
We go way back.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Daryl.
Oh, I'm sensing... Something torrid? I don't know.
We had a love affair.
We hooked up. We hooked up.
Well, that tells me a lot how you two refer to whatever happened.
Commitment Phobia was Daryl's name. And ghosting me was his game.
Oh, my God. Daryl.
Well, I'm busy. I've got bowls of milk to look at.
Well, Kathy... I figured I'm in the process of trying to better myself as a human, and I heard that BuzzFeed voted you the religious person of the year, kind of without any context about any particular religion, just kind of religious. And I was wondering if you wouldn't mind leading us in a quick prayer in the hopes that I might learn something.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Great, great, great. We'll do that. As you know, I'm a big believer in co-working spaces. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And as such, let us join pencils. Great, thank you. Let the gods of productivity flow through these pencils into your brain synapses, where your brains will create the music that will fill your many emails that you write.
Wow.
Amen.
Maya, are you crying?
I'm transported. Well, I'm transported. Kathy, that was remarkable. Would you mind if I were to be brash right now?
Oh, please.
And ask you to join us at our road trip across the country?
Kathy Ratatouille says, obviously, yes.
Yay!
Let's go.
Praying with Kathy and the gang made me realize the importance of self-acceptance. Yes, I had learned a lesson. Our final stop before Los Angeles was at a Waffle House in Tacoma, Washington. On the ride, I was lamenting the fact that I had learned how to eat and how to pray, but not how to love. But we had no clue who we would end up stumbling upon in those hallowed Waffle House booths. Okay, guys, everyone, sit down and I'll get us menus. I'm going to act like the waitress because I want to. Okay, 1 second. Chris? Chris Gethard? What are you doing here?
I often go to Waffle House by myself.
Oh, well, that's nice.
A lot of times when I'm out on the road, there's nothing else open all the time. And usually you're in a hotel that's within walking distance of a Waffle House on the highway. So I come here.
Well, it's good to see you. It's lovely to see you.
Yeah, great to see you too. How you been?
I'm good. I'm surprised you're not more shocked to see me.
No, it's a definite. I guess I'm just kind of in an emotional.
Oh, no.
I feel emotionally in a haze, so nothing surprises me at this point. I don't feel pain or joy right now.
Well, I guess
it's a mental state I'm in.
There's a way to look at that as the glass half full.
How you been?
You know, I'm pretty good. I feel like I've learned a lot on this road trip. Do you want to come meet my friends?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Kathy and Daryl.
Oh, I know you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We were in a thruple for a while.
Yeah. We hooked up.
Yeah. We were in a love affair and then we hooked up.
Yeah. Unreal.
Me and Kathy love affair.
Me, oh, yeah. Ms.
And Daryl hooked up.
What?
What?
Harry, can we get in the rhythm of this, please?
Harry, by the way, Chris, it's
Sarah. Oh, hey. And, Harry, I used to produce your podcast.
Yeah, I remember. And then you ditched me like they all do.
Yeah, dog.
Wow, that's the response.
I'm gonna pretend to be a waitress for 1 second because I want to. But what are we eating today?
Well, you should. I mean, if you're gonna pretend to be a waitress, you should pretend to be a Waffle House level waitress.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You were awfully cheerful for someone who works in a Waffle House.
Yeah, you're like doing the graveyard shift.
Okay. I'll try it again. How we doing?
Now you have to ask us, like, the Waffle House, because the Waffle House specialty is, like, do you want your hash browns, like, scrambled, shredded,
chopped,
and
covered chunks.
Smothered. Yeah, something like that.
So you have kept to ask, in a box.
Yeah, you have to ask
lowered
us that.
Lowered in a well.
Chunk. Remember, and you're a late-night Waffle House waitress. You've probably seen a gun in a waistband at least once tonight. Someone's gotten in a fist fight in the parking lot, and you've watched through the glass and not called the police.
It's so hard to be me as a waffle. I'm thinking of myself as a Waffle House waitress. It's hard to be me.
You're a generally positive person.
Yeah. I don't like having. I want to help. What can I do? How can I help people who work that shift not feel bad? Maybe I need to start some kind of a fund.
Wow. Like a GoFundMe or something? Indiegogo?
Yeah. I'll
like
do it.
Like a charity organization?
Yeah. Maybe we can, for every listen of this podcast, I will donate my time to Waffle House employees. Maybe this is what it means to love. Maybe this is what it means to love. Okay, I think I learned an incredible lesson. Chris, do you want to come to LA? You don't have to if you don't want to.
No, I've been avoiding it for 20 years.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to stay here and stare into these cheesy grits and contemplate what life really means.
That's terrific. That's terrific for you. Thanks, Chris.
Have fun.
Thank you, guys. Harry? You betrayed me and I'll never forgive you. Hey, Daryl, great to see you.
Great to see you. Wait, if your grits are cheesy, does that mean they're smothered or covered?
It's the hash browns that it's smothered and covered.
And then the grits.
Grits, you can just mix some cheese in those bad boys.
Well, it was really great to see you.
You too.
You guys should reconnect.
I know. It was pretty cool when he hooked up.
Yeah, feel free to text me.
I'm really busy.
Or better yet, sext me. Taught me perhaps the most important lesson of all. Patriotism or
what?
Love of country.
Oh.
Yes, I had learned a lesson. Before we knew it, me and my ragtag crew of important personalities were standing on the infamous Hollywood Hill. Looking
just
over
the
great expanse of plastic and mountain, it occurred to me. I had eaten with a chef, prayed with a person, and learned to love from Chris Gethard. this trip would forever change me, for it was really, really fun.
I'm just glad
now,
Justin's not a part
of this. It was time to meet up with Justin and get to work on winning the podcast co-host contest thrown by Willy Wonka himself.
Yay!
Oh, yay! I think that's it.
Wow.
Good job, guys. Everyone. That was incredible.
Whee!
Good job, Maya.
Thank you. That's my handle. Good job,
Maya. A little
Maya.
Disrespectful to Gene Wilder, who's dead.
Yeah, we thought about that, but at the end of the day.
I thought it was the Johnny Depp version.
It was. We were kind of more. It's Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, right? Is the little boy.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
What's the name of that one Gene Wilder movie that's thought of as the worst movie ever?
Oh, I don't know.
That's
Sitar? No.
Ishtar. Directed by Elaine May.
Really?
Is that considered the worst movie
ever? It's considered one of the worst movies. I think Waterworld kind of superseded it.
What about Gigli?
Gigli was pretty good. But I think Ishtar and Waterworld both had like budgets in the hundreds of millions.
Wow.
That's the difference between them and a Gigli.
Wow.
I like to think of it as Giggly.
Giggly. True. And that's Affleck and Lopez?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You could have said anything.
When they were together.
Bennifer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, right. They were Bennifer.
But also he was with Jennifer Gardner.
Yeah,
so
right.
So he was Bennifer twice.
Can you imagine dating two Jennifers?
And didn't he break up with one of them because he was caught performing cunnilingus
on
a
stripper? Babysitter.
No. What?
What?
A stripper or a babysitter, something like that.
Really?
Yeah. I always thought that was a very interesting Affleck specific, that he was cheating through giving oral sex.
He's a very, very generous cheater.
He's a hero. Let's say it.
I love his back tattoo. Have you seen that thing? It's
yes.
Cool.
Ben Affleck has a back tattoo?
Yeah, it's gigantic.
It's really? Like a phoenix rising from the ashes.
Yeah, it's really? Entire back.
Yeah, it's like the most Ed Hardy back tattoo you could have. Ben Affleck has it.
Wow. Let's take a look at. Oh, wow. That's truly terrible. It is. It's a phoenix. Oh, wait. Here's him saving someone.
I pretended like I didn't know exactly what it was.
When you Google image search it, there's an image of him with lifeguard equipment sprinting with concern on his face.
Oh, is that for a movie or is that just he likes to lifeguard on the side of being a celebrity?
So he's like, quick, a young girl is in need of me giving her cunnilingus.
I must go.
I must dive in.
And I also love the young girl specific. Why not?
And they're all bad,
right? Yeah, right. No, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay, we take calls on this show. I come up with the call-in topic each week, usually about an hour or two before the show, because I do sit and stress about it for days ahead of time. And this week I was sitting here and I'm going, just based on what I know of our guests, Nagin, I feel like in our interactions, because I've been a guest on Faith the Nation, and it was very fun, and I think of you as someone who does a lot of research, very smart comedy, high-level stuff that ties into the political world, the maneuverings that are changing day by day, all these shifting gears.
Well, thank you. That's very nice of you to say.
It's quite impressive. Sarah Squirm, I'm going to go ahead and say my perception of you from the outside is aggressive comedy involving a lot of meat labias.
Yeah. That's it.
So thinking of a topic that crossed over, here's what I've asked. I've gone into the Discord chat that's around CGP. It's called Planet Scum. You can sign up for it at chrisgeth.com/live, and it's actually turning into a very, very fun thing. Everybody in there is nice, and they chat 24/7 and distract each other at work, and it's great. And I asked them to call up. Excuse me. That was disgusting.
Sick. Yeah, we're all sick.
My son has his first cold, which means I've had a cold for 3 months.
His first cold.
Yeah.
My baby had hers like two weeks ago.
Did it last forever?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Endless.
It's kind of ongoing.
He really coughs into my mouth and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Spits on my face.
And that's why I'm sick.
He does baby stuff. Yeah, it's a disease pit. Anyway, I asked people in that Discord chat to call up right now and to give us a quote. And they will not tell us. This will be a real quote. And they're not going to tell us who said the quote. The quote will have either been uttered by an American politician or a serial killer. And we have to guess.
What's the difference?
Yeah. Mentality-wise, I bet a psychologist would break it down and say that there's more similarities than differences. We have to guess, was that a politician who said that or a serial killer who said that?
Okay.
Does everyone understand?
Great. That's great.
I'm excited.
Fun. Got it.
We've got, oh, wow. This was the example I used. Michael from Alabama is actually online. I believe before when I was explaining how this works, I said, oh, yeah, put it in. And if it's then we can just say Michael from Alabama. It actually is Michael from Alabama.
Yay.
On line one. Hello.
Hey, 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 what's going on? I'm walking away from the air compressors. Sorry, it's so loud.
It's all good. I know you work with air compressors.
You're that guy who works with air compressors. Yes, welcome back to the show. Michael from Alabama, who has to stand too close to air compressors. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How are you doing? How's your health and hearing doing being near air compressors so often?
It's great. I have noise-canceling headphones that I listen to podcasts on all day, so it doesn't really bother me.
That's good. That's good.
How are you guys doing?
I'm okay.
Yeah, pretty good.
I'm great.
Everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Minutes before this started, I bought a house in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. Before, is that what you stepped out to do?
That's what I stepped out to
Congratulations.
Do. Purchase real estate.
Oh, my gosh. Great.
Are you okay?
I don't know. It's either really good or really bad.
Oh, wow. Good.
Where in New Jersey?
Nice. Don't worry about it. I will not disclose that information to anyone in comedy. I'm quitting in April, and no one gets to know where I live.
April
no one,
is so specific.
You pushed it back.
I pushed it back because we have CGP scheduled into April. And
also
then,
taxes.
Right. Yeah. That is the last CGP scheduled right now. Is
420 is also in.
I'm going to disappear, and my assumption is no one in the comedy scene will notice that I'm gone until July.
Hey,
that's
I know
guess.
This is I've been trying to say.
Michael, God bless
Congratulations.
You.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much,
on
Michael.
The Gethard estate, man.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Wait, what is an air compressor?
It's a big machine that makes a lot of noise. We found this in previous calls with Michael. And Michael, God bless you, and God bless all the people who have to work next to machinery so loud that you have to wear headphones. I mean that sincerely.
Thank you, man. Thanks. And you're wearing headphones, too,
Across
at your work.
The country.
Yes, in a much cushier and softer setting. Michael, you have a quote for us today.
Yeah, I totally have one. And you guys have to figure out if it's a serial killer or a politician. So here it goes. You ready?
Yes. And thank you for reiterating the rules.
All right. So before leading my troops into battle, we would get drunk and drugged up, sacrifice a local teenager, drink their blood, then strip down to our shoes and go into battle wearing colorful wigs and carrying dainty purses we looted from civilians. Wow. We'd slaughter anyone we saw, chop their heads off, and use them as soccer balls. We were nude, fearless, drunk, and homicidal. We killed hundreds of people, so many I lost count.
Oh, it's Henry Kissinger.
Do you know this off the top of your head?
No, but... You know,
you're guessing the specific politician.
Yeah,
that's a really good one.
Yeah.
Wow,
because it sounds like it has to be a politician, but then the specifics are so weird.
Yeah.
That it seems like a politician could never say that.
Right, unless a politician is being very. Like doing a bit, you know?
That's what it looks like for a politician to do a bit. That's crazy.
Oh, no, it's not a bit. It's not a bit.
It's, oh. I will say, oh. it sounds like something Teddy Roosevelt could have easily said. He used to say some crazy stuff, and he loved war.
Crazy.
You're getting warmer.
Oh, interesting. So he's getting warmer on the era? Or
the type
of person?
Wait, so it wasn't Henry Kissinger?
So that was not Kissinger. I think
you guys give up or you want to keep going?
No, we're going to keep discussing. Because again, I felt like your gears started turning.
My gears started turning, but I feel like they're now not turning because my thought was this could be a serial killer politician overlap.
A hybrid of sorts.
Hybrid, because I'm thinking of like the Jonestown Massacre leadership cadre.
Yeah.
Would have said something like this in their kind of political capacity as leaders while also being serial killers.
Like a Charlie Manson. He's saying kind of Manson-esque stuff.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I feel like any of those serial killers that attract a cult clearly could have been politicians.
Right.
That's like what, exactly. Or rock bands.
Harry Nelson,
your
guess.
This person had troops.
Oh, this person had troops. Harry Nelson, your guess. You don't get to just show up here and bask in the glory. You have to actually participate.
Yay. I'm going to guess politician.
Yeah. Okay. Michael, it seems like we're all agreed this has to be a politician, right?
It's General Butt Naked.
What?
General
Butt Naked. Did you never hear about him? He was like this horrible politician from, I forget where he was from. You can Google it and pull it up on your computer or whatever.
Wait, his name is General Butt Naked?
Yeah.
Is that
real?
Pete Buttigieg's last name?
General Butt Naked? Oh, this is a real
like
person.
Like Butt-Naked?
General Butt Naked.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Let's go to Wikipedia. Joshua Milton Blye. Often known by his nom de guerre, General Butt Naked. You have a nom de guerre. Is that how you pronounce that, by the way?
But
is anyone else?
I've never heard that before. What is that?
Nom de guerre is like stage name or pen name.
Yeah, pen name, yeah.
But
the funny thing is it also means it's just like war name.
Right,
he is a commander of forces under the wider control of Liberian warlord Roosevelt Johnson.
Nice.
So I said Roosevelt. I did specifically say American politicians in the Discord chat, but I also don't care.
So he's sort of both.
Really?
He's a hybrid of like what you guys were talking about, saying that he was a hybrid.
Right.
Serial killer politician.
Crazy. Yeah, he's one of these guys who's crazy and then politicians co-opted his craziness and used it to kill. That's good. That's how politics works.
When was this? Was Liberia?
Yep.
Liberia, yeah. Liberia, which I also feel like, if I remember right,
not a stable government.
And a country that was formed by the American government to send slaves back to, right? Something like that?
Something like that.
Something awful? Everything, yeah.
It was around the same time as Coney, if you guys remember him, before he faded out of social media.
Yes, before we moved on.
Coney 2012?
Yeah, that was 2012,
yes.
Right?
Coney 2020.
We're bringing it back.
I'm obsessed with Coney.
Just waves of guilt. Waves of unresolved guilt.
He's done, right?
Yeah.
Coney 2020.
Oh, he's
he
done.
Was done in 2012?
Yeah.
One of the early examples of
I think he became a preacher. He became like, he found God and like started preaching.
God bless.
An early example of, I feel like, of the modern era when we all like to do the right thing in the moment one time and then move on, you know? Just like, this is fucked up, and you post that, and then you don't think about it.
And then it gets absorbed into the hyper-normalization cycle.
And then we cyber-bully the documentary filmmakers.
Yes.
Right. I forgot that was the whole thing.
Yeah, there was a whole thing where they were going to be, yeah.
All right. Michael, thank you so much for the call. Let's go and get you back to those air compressors, and we'll talk to you anytime, maybe next week.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
Okay, let's go to, I believe, line three is our next.
I don't know any names of any politicians.
I only know Henry Kissinger.
Okay, so keep saying it. Let's keep saying it.
Come on, I'm going to guess
Matthew
that's
Matthew from Albuquerque?
Looks like we've got, is it Matthew from Albuquerque? All right. Matthew, hello. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, Harry?
Hey, man.
Good to talk to you.
That genuinely messed with me more than it should have.
Sorry.
Matthew, it's okay. Matthew, do you have a quote for us from either a politician or a serial killer?
I went to work very deliberately as I am charged, and this is admitted and speculated somewhat as to whether I should employ a horse or cowhide.
Okay, say that again. Your connection's not the clearest, so say it slowly.
I went to work very deliberately as I am charged, and this is admitted, and speculated somewhat as to whether I should employ a horsewhip or a cowhide.
Horsewhip or cowhide, okay.
Mm.
Tough call for me.
I'm going to say old-timey politician. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say 19th century, before the West was won, something about a frontiersman type politician.
So we got one vote for politician. Maya.
Who's Jack the Ripper?
Jack the Ripper is an early serial killer from
London.
One of the first known serial killers that had like a name and a public presence.
He was really, he made the mold.
Good for
him.
He's
branding. The modern serial killer, Maya, your vote, serial killer, politician.
I guess I would vote serial killer, but just context clues. Well, no, because you guys aren't conspiring to make it one or the other at any given time. No, I'm not making sense. I'm going to say serial killer.
One vote for politician, one for serial killer. Harry Nelson.
Also politician. I think it's like Roosevelt or something, you know.
Two politicians, one serial killer. Sarah Squirm.
I'm just going to say serial killer because the phrasing of went to work.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Going to work on something that, I mean...
It's like Dexter.
It's clear as day that it's Dexter.
I'm going to say serial killer. I wonder if this might be I think his name was H.H. Holmes from Chicago. Okay, Matthew, what are we dealing with here? A politician or a serial killer?
This was Preston Brooks, a U.S. representative who was kicked out of the House for beating a senator with a cane.
That guy, yeah.
What year was that?
That was right before the Civil War.
Guys, who was...
was the most right of all of us.
Yeah. You're a genius.
Thank you very much.
There was someone on the floor of Congress speaking out against slavery, and this guy beat the shit out of him with a cane. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to now say everything that you said. That's going to be sort of my strategy for this. Wow. I've become very competitive for some reason.
No, I think that's kind of the point, right?
I mean, Matthew, you did do a great job of finding one of the most clearly demented politicians in American history to physically attack someone. Matthew, thank you so much.
Yeah.
You overall stumped us. I think we had 3 serial killers, 2 politicians. Mm-hmm. I'm so mad Harry was right.
Yeah, baby.
Okay, we've got...
Thanks, Harry. Thanks, the rest of you.
Nice to talk
to
you.
The rest of you.
Thank you.
We've got Sam from Australia calling back again. Sam has called the show a number of times. He always seems a little bit down. Sam, how you doing this week?
I'm not sure. Yesterday, I asked a girl I quite liked, and I didn't get a total rejection.
Hey.
That's good. And I gotta say, just at the tone of your voice, you got a little more pep in your step than you usually do.
Yeah,
there's a little
gotta
hope.
Put yourself out there.
It's important.
Yeah. I think I got through the sad, and now I'm like, that could have gone a lot worse.
That's great. That's awesome. Now, Sam, you know what's an interesting thing that you just made me think of? I feel like when Australians visit America, their accent is very enticing to us. But you're in Australia where everyone has the Australian accent. That's
Australians don't have accents. It's everyone else that has accents.
Touche. Well, if you come out here, that accent's going to go a long way because everybody. I feel like anyone in the whole spectrum of sexuality likes getting flirted with by an Australian. I think Americans like getting flirts. I once flirted with an Australian girl, and it was great.
Does it work if he were to go to the UK?
Or Ireland or Scotland.
Yeah, like, does the Australian accent still have some sort of a lure?
Oh, interesting. Sam, what's the word?
I think it would work both ways.
Oh, really?
Because also British people have that whole accent.
They're more similar the only thing. Yeah.
I feel like it's like an Australian accent, like a Southern accent to a British person.
Yeah, Sam, how's that work?
A weird thing for me is like in an American or British show and hearing Australian accents, that really stands out. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess because I'm used to whatever the local accent of that media is.
Oh.
I want to hear someone from Australia flirt with someone from Glasgow. Are you guys familiar with the Glasgow accent?
It's intense.
Yes, it's like a borderline or Northern Ireland. And my family is Northern Irish. That accent. Indecipherable.
Oh, is that like that movie where Brad Pitt is the wrestler and I had to put on subtitles for the whole movie?
In that one, he was an Irish traveler. Yes.
Yeah.
What was that called, that movie?
Snatch.
Yeah, where Brad Pitt, the Irish travelers are fascinating people. They travel all around in RVs largely and they have a strong culture of fist fighting. And there's always a king of the gypsies who is the champion fist fighter of this culture at any given moment.
Do you have any of those in your family?
Any of you got any travelers, Sam? Are you familiar with the travelers?
Are you with us, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. I'm at a train station and testing the speakers at that perfect time.
Oh, that's okay. Now, Sam, do you have a quote for us that's either a politician or a serial killer?
Yes, I've broken the rules, and it's either an Australian politician or a serial killer, but you can't tell me you're not excited.
Okay. No, I'm very excited.
Okay. For 7 days after I chopped my finger off, I was locked away in a safe cell, light on 20 hours a day, no idea of time. It's in a cement box, no windows or openings.
Can I jump on this one?
Yes, go for it, Sarah.
And you know what? I'm going to say, Sam, you tried to give us a little bit of a curveball, but I'm going to say it's a politician. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing right through your little plan.
Ooh, called out. I also would say this sounds like something that someone who was attacked by a serial killer, which makes me feel like it can't be a serial killer. We're all voting politician here. Anyone else?
But was this person kind of describing being in a jail cell, though?
Having their fingers chopped off, yes.
But they're in jail, right?
So they're not serial killing.
For 7 days after
I chopped my finger off.
Oh, he or she chopped their own finger off. Well, Harry, your vote?
I'm going to go serial killer just for fun.
You're a little troublemaker.
I'm going serial killer too. Also, I want to because, and I'll tell you why. I felt so weird and horrible listening to this quote.
Really, you did.
And in a way that serial killers make me feel, genuinely unsettled.
Wow.
And so that's how serial killers generally make me feel.
Crazy.
I'm going to go with serial killer.
Okay. And I feel like Nagin, you're 2 for 2 thus far, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's power.
Sam, was that a serial killer or a politician?
Oh, this is
bated breath. No.
Bated breath.
Sam, what if we never know?
Oh, no.
If you're still there, I've lost you.
Oh, no, you're here.
Sam,
here,
please, we need to know. Sam.
Sam, come on.
Sam, we can't leave this unresolved for all of us and the listeners. It would be disturbing. Sam, who chopped their fucking fingers off? Sam, somebody chopped their fucking fingers off and we don't get to know who?
He got on the train.
What the fuck was that all about, Sam? You can't call up and tell us somebody chopped their goddamn fingers off and sat in a cell for
without
7 days.
I'm scared. I'm going to put it out there.
No light. No concept of day or night.
And I'm just going to go ahead and say, I'm not Googling this.
No.
You have to.
I want to sit in this feeling. I want us all to express the feelings that we're feeling right now. Sarah, why is it so important to you to have resolution on this?
Because I really have to pee, and I'm in this additional agony of like, because all of a sudden when the game started, I got really competitive for some reason, and I felt violently like I needed to win.
Uh-huh.
And I just feel like I'm getting no resolution or closure in any way, shape, or form from this game.
Right.
Either winning or just no winning.
Nothing.
Oh,
no. I'm so scared.
I know, and it's from Sam. Sam, who's called, I mean, Maya, Harry, you know, he's called at least 4 times, and he's always seemed in a very bad place.
Yeah, there was a different tone to his voice this time.
He seemed kind of happy today.
Yeah.
Right, because he was playing a mind game.
I don't love that he was at a train station. We should have asked where he's going, man.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I always worry about Sam from Australia.
We do worry for him.
Some guy chopped his fucking fingers off, and we'll never know. And
also, Sam, it's worrying that that's the quote you brought
I know.
But I mean, it's baked into the game.
It's
so that's your guys' fault, I guess.
Yeah. And your guys', let's be clear, it's Chris's fault.
Chris's fault.
What? Why is it my fault?
Because you're baked into the game.
You're the one that baked the game.
I didn't
make Sam's phone fritz out, though.
As the baker of the game, you owe us to Google it right now.
I will not Google it.
No.
Wait, is Sam back on the line?
He keeps popping on and off.
Yes. Sam back on the line?
Yeah, but now
we've lost. Can we try Sam again?
We've lost connection, so I'm getting hooked back
up. We've lost connection. Oh, God damn it. If we never know. We never know who chopped their fingers off. Okay, how are we doing here?
Because, you know, there was that episode of Black Mirror.
I can't watch. Too scary.
Why? It's Black Mirror.
And it was called, like, funeral museum or death museum or something.
Oh, yeah, that was wild.
And I watched the first like 10 minutes. I lost my mind and I turned it off. Mm-hmm. And there was some finger losing.
I'm not
giving anything away because I only saw the first 10 minutes.
Wait, in the first
10 minutes, there was some finger loss.
Yeah.
It was side of the highway museum.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah,
but then it flashes away from that museum to like a story or whatever, and that story is traumatizing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't have an appetite for it, guys.
No, I always say, even with Sarah Squirm's
outed you. Information that was not publicly available until now.
Truly, don't. I have no identity. I don't care what anyone calls me.
I'll bleep it.
Yeah, bleep me, please. Okay, so with your content, I am so squeamish. I really don't like things that gross me out or freak me out or scare me, but I muddle through it because it's very, very funny and very good. But I can't. It's hard for me.
Is it easy for you to come up with those things, or like how do you feel inside?
Where's your fascination with it?
I have made things that have made me lose sleep. Like
you've made things that you yourself have.
Yes, that's what it's fun, because it's like how I try to see how far I can push myself. I've puked all over my kitchen. I've done when we made a video where we had to scramble up a bunch of cow brains.
You really did that?
I really did. Well, people, you know, people eat cow brains and whatever. But for some reason, my kitchen was really hot because, like, I didn't have air conditioning and the smell was so rancid and the brains were so old. And we were, and I just puked everywhere.
Was
and,
anyone with you or are you just alone in your hot kitchen?
Luke.
Oh my God.
Boy. Now, I'm going to tell everybody, I did try to take mercy on us all, and I school. I mean, we all remembered. Don't out that yet. God damn it. Okay. I Googled for 7 days after I chopped my finger, and I will say all that comes up is things like hand laceration with possible nerve injury.
Oh, put Australia in there.
Fingertip amputation. Will the tip of my finger grow back? How a tiny cut on your finger could cost you your life.
God, what? Now this is, we're now just freaking everybody out.
How a cut on the tip of your finger.
Will my finger grow back?
It will, it will.
Are you a lizard? Do you have lizard blood? If not, no, go to the hospital. Okay, I added the word Australia.
Is that it?
Sarah, you just got excited.
Oh, no.
I assume it's an Australian politician.
I feel like
politician.
He opened up a PDF.
Mm.
That doesn't say anything.
Yeah, no, this is an ebook never, preview.
That never leads to the right answer.
Oh, God. Now, we don't have any other calls coming in, do we?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, God. Okay, the system broke. So we have to finish this. Fungus diseases of tropical crops.
No, but did you do quote... Like,
oh, I'll put quotes around.
And I think it was an Australian politician because I wasn't going to say it, but I think he kind of, he tipped his hand.
Yeah, Barry the lead.
And
the
opposite. I tipped my hat to that.
Oh, wait a second. Australia's worst serial killer, Ivan Milat's letters from prison.
Nagin Farsam, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow, you're really good at this game.
Thank you.
Is this the answer? It's this guy, Ivan. Let's see what this guy did. Okay. The rambling letters of Australia's worst serial killer, who's serving 7 consecutive life sentences for the brutal murder of 7 backpackers.
Oh,
this is why everybody.
See, now Sam's in my head.
I'm telling you, we once had a caller on Beautiful Anonymous who was like, "Oh, I'm backpacking all over Australia, and I pick strawberries to make money, and I live with this guy who's out in the bush, and he's been doing this for years," and I was like, "This sounds dangerous." And she's like, "That's such an American attitude to think every stranger is dangerous." And then, Harry, you can match me. Yeah. She later got back in touch with us and was like, "No, that guy was actually really crazy and had been, I forget if he was attacking people or hurting people."
Horrendous.
Ivan Milat was convicted of butchering 7 young people between 1989 and 92. 3 years. 7 butcherings in 3 years. He buried their bodies.
And that's the ones we know about.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The Belanglo Forest. He's been locked up in Goulburn Supermax.
Goulburn.
Writing up to twice a week to his eldest nephew.
Daryl Holloway.
Oh, my. Everything about this is scary. Twice a week, he writes letters to his eldest nephew, Alistair Shipsey.
No.
That's another scary name. Shipsey, a 55-year-old former Rebels biking gang member. Everything about this is bad.
It says bikey.
How old is this guy if his nephew is 55?
Right.
He's in his 80s. I think it said he was 80.
He was hot, though. Look at that.
70.
Isn't that the thing?
Is that the guy? So you think he's hot?
He's got a mustache.
I don't want to vote on the attractiveness of this guy, Ivan Milat.
He's not hot.
Kills what people.
So it's not for me, but it's almost Burt Reynolds-esque.
Those are mutton chops or whatever. Yeah. Are they? What is it called when you have a long side mustache?
He's got the chops. Oh, come on. He's not as hot. Oh, no. This is the nephew. This is picture of Alistair Shipsey. Everyone's going to look this up. There's an article in the Daily Mail. He's wearing a Freddy Krueger hat and holding a double-barreled shotgun.
Oh, no.
That's the picture they used in the paper.
His nephew is really weird, too.
Do you think he's hot at all?
His hat is perched too strangely to be hot.
Yeah. Okay. It's like his head doesn't
when
fit into it.
When the hat ruins the hot.
So the nephew put out...
Look at that picture, Chris.
The nephew
look at this
put
guy.
Out a book of these things. Oh,
Wait, did you...
He's genuinely hot in that one. He looks like fucking Hugh Jackman in that
one. Chris, would you mind tilting a little?
Yeah, come around. Yeah, you got to come around. He's getting caught. He's genuinely hot. He's like jacked.
That one, he's hot. He's also tan in that one.
And look, I don't love guns. I've actually been on record that I hate guns.
Hate guns.
Something about that particular.
And next time you guys tell me someone isn't hot when I've said that they're hot?
I'm not.
What are you gonna do? Well, in the way that Nagin is fantastic at the game, you are fantastic at knowing when someone is hot.
You just have to look through the context of the fact that he's killed
at least seven people.
Yeah, yeah, give everyone their chance at being hot.
Okay, do you guys want to hear a little more about what he's been saying?
Absolutely.
I will send them parts of what does he say? I do battle to cope with this shitty claustrophobic place. Blah blah blah. I suffer badly at times. I think the walls close in, no air. I will never plead with the, and then it's a word that had P star 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 S. I don't know what it is. But then he says, I will send them parts of my hand first. I've been considering this for a while. I only need half a reason to show them how I feel with their shithead ideas. There's not much they can do to me anymore.
Who's they?
I don't know.
The
Milan. He was a road worker. Guards? Batman. Yeah. Hot or not. Hot or not, this picture of him working on construction on the road in a Batman hat.
No. And the caption, by the way, says his brothers had a large collection of knives. So think about that.
Huh? And that's the lens here.
Squirm, you have dodged answering if this is hot, and I think it's because you think he is hot and you don't, and you know you shouldn't
Can
say that.
Can I describe
that
to the listeners what I'm looking
yes,
at?
Yes,
I'm seeing little shorts and good legs.
Yes.
I love the direction this episode is taking. Most of this episode, a large part of this has just turned into debating whether this truly insane person is hot
serial
or not.
Killer, this convicted serial killer who's chopping off his own body parts.
He lost his little finger on his left hand after he severed it in an attempt to send it in a padded envelope to the High Court. Goulburn Base Hospital was unable to reattach the finger. Another letter sent by Malat to Shipsy talks about the hunger strike he decided to go on after he butchered his own finger. For 7 days after I chopped my finger off, I was locked away in a safe cell, light on 20 hours a day, no idea of time. It's in a cement box, no windows or openings. The best way I deal with that shit is don't eat. And after a couple of days, I had all that pain in my hand. So after a couple of days, I didn't give a fuck what happened. It took 7 days to negotiate as usual once I agreed to start eating.
Can you imagine? I thought that that was by a politician.
I did too. I absolutely thought that was a politician.
No. Yeah, yeah. It is nuts that... Right, because the politician would have to have fallen so far.
Yeah.
Like past Trent Lott, you know what I mean? Into a prison, right? Where they're chopping off their own body parts and then writing letters about it.
I thought this might have been
like
a Mandela political prisoner type thing.
Oh, or
like a Northern Irish, like war-torn land political...
Think that? Because in my mind, you thought it was like Jeff Sessions really found himself in a bad place. And he's like writing letters.
I guess the nature of the game, given that like these are all kind of like gory or like, you know, intense quotes, I'm like, okay, it's just a different time. Things were different back then. People said things like that. You know, I don't know. 1800s, why not?
So I do just want to be clear. There's a book by Alistair Shipsy. I want to give my man Shipsy a shout out on this. It's called The Malat Letters, M-I-L-A-T. The inside story from the backpack murderer. It's $32 in Australia. I don't know what the shipping cost will be in America. But everybody, I just want to give it a plug. And the picture of him on the cover is legitimately one of the most attractive pictures ever.
Wait, hold on. So the nephew.
Yeah, that's Shipsy. That's a picture of Shipsy right there.
Included the letters.
Yes.
And it's like in defense of my uncle?
It's just here he is in his own words.
Interesting.
And they're making cash. I think if
I had a relative that trusted me, but was a serial killer, I would write a book.
I think if I had a relative who was incredibly mentally ill, I don't know. But hot.
Yes.
Because look at these two pictures of them side by side. Like Shipsy's on the left, he looks like an Atlantic City magician.
He looks like Chris Angel.
He does. He has a Chris Angel vibe, like old Chris Angel vibe. And then his uncle on the right, Malat.
Smoke show.
Literal smoke show in this picture. Like, looks like he fucks good.
Yes.
Looks like this guy gives you the fucking.
Yeah.
Like, he's doing cunnilingus. Like, he's doing da-da-da-da.
I mean, he looks like he gives you the sexual experience that you quietly think about for the rest of your life.
Oh, yay. Well, yeah. Because one of his fingers is short.
Right. Hey, let's call it what it is. It's the clit finger. It's just what it is.
And mine is just calling it what it is.
And I'm here. Excuse me. I have to take a call.
I just want to... Okay, Shipsy promises none of the money goes to Malat. I've put the letters together to let anyone see he's in hell. Oh, yeah, but I mean, he killed a lot of. Now there's pictures of backpackers.
I feel like there's like a limited Netflix series in the making about these two gentlemen.
I mean,
because there's a story on the end. There's the killing the backpacks. Guys, who's making this? Are we making a show?
We might
is what
have
I'm saying.
To.
Are the five of us? Oh, is that what
now,
it looks like now?
Here he is at 70. He's kind of a fucking silver fox.
Yeah, he is. That Shipsy or the uncle?
No, this is Malata at 70. After he chopped his finger off, and he still kind of looks good. He's got like a silver daddy finger.
Yeah. What's the story with prisons in Australia? Are they like more fun times?
Well,
or?
Wasn't Australia a prison colony?
Oh, yeah. So maybe you're in the country.
Element. Yeah. Wow. So, okay, everybody, once again, shout out to Alistair Shipsy. Go get his book.
Shout out.
What's it called?
When were these murders happening
letters.
Again?
89 to 92. He took out 7 backpackers out.
The years between when my brother was born and I was born.
Wow.
Interestingly.
Also,
and it's kind of a conspiracy as
also,
well.
Also, the years that brought on the grunge mouvement. So, yeah. So there's so many. There's such a great soundtrack opportunity.
Oh, yeah. Throw some Pixies on. Throw some Pixies on and read the Malat letters.
As long as I can have kind of an absurdist, surrealist bent, I will join this writing room.
All right. I want to thank everybody for being here. This took by far the strangest turn this podcast has ever taken. A deep dive analysis of the hotness of Australia's most notorious serial killer. Harry Nelson, anything you want to plug? The new company you're jumping ship to?
Yeah,
or what?
Check out Hyper Object Industries.
He's really doing it. Really do. No longer gives a fuck.
That's cool. Yeah, follow me on Twitter.
How many weeks left?
2 more weeks after this.
So you know where you're moving, by the way, to Los Angeles?
No, you need a roommate?
No, just welcome. Yeah. Hey.
We'll connect.
She has she can move all of the meat labias or whatever.
Well, her meat room.
My meat room.
Look at Harry already trying to network. We'll connect.
Yeah, we'll connect.
He did say connect.
He did say connect. This guy's a mover.
It
and
wasn't
shaker.
Like what's you know like oh we'll talk. It was
connect.
He's gonna circle back on
he'll
that.
Take you out. He's gonna go out to lunch and he's gonna pay on a company car.
That's great
stuff,
for me.
Yeah. Then he's gonna drive away, no permit.
Maya, anything to plug?
Yes. This coming Tuesday, the 12th of November, is Animal Show, the show I host with Justin Linville and David Steele at The Well in Bushwick. Or actually, Justin insists I call it East Williamsburg. And it's going to be great. It's going to be we have a great lineup.
What, is he a fucking real estate agent?
Yeah, on some level, yes.
Yeah, he's a mystery. None of us know anything about his personal life. Nagin, what would you like people to know about?
Oh my God, you know what? I did this thing for NPR that I thought was real cute. I did it for All Things Considered. It's an essay about how dogs should be involved in healthcare. And it's like a little funny, but it's a little, there's some science behind it. And it's my pinned tweet. It's a little audio essay. Say that I did for All Things Considered. So listen to that. And then subscribe to my podcast, Fake the Nation, where you'll hear people like Chris Gethard and then a whole host of other fucking people.
Yeah.
Good show.
And it's a really good show.
Yep.
Legit. All right, Sarah, break it down.
Is this going to be tomorrow? It does. Mm-hmm. Please, for the love of God, buy tickets to my show at the Bell House on November 8th at 10 p.m. Please.
So this comes out November 8th.
If you're
in New York,
go see it.
The Bell House is one of the great venues in New York comedy.
Is that too late?
No, that's a fantastic time. It's a Friday night. It's my Friday night activity.
It's a Friday night. Please, Hell Trap Nightmare at the Bell House. Don't embarrass me in front of my family. My entire family is going to be there.
The last show.
Get out there.
The last Hell Trap show, or one of the Hell Trap shows, I went to middle school with Sarah, and our middle school drama teacher came, and it was nuts.
And our high school drama teacher texted me.
No.
And
Tommy?
Said, yep, he's coming as well tomorrow. So if you guys don't come to the show, my high school teachers are going to think I'm a fucking loser.
So you're telling me your family and a number of former teachers are coming to a show where you talk about your own distended labia?
They're front row every goddamn, I swear to God,
it's
front row every show. My
Do
dad's
they
in the
get
front.
It?
Yeah, they're obsessed. My dad's in the front going, go Yankees, let's go.
I love it. Hell Trap Nightmare tonight at the Bell House. Get out there in New York. I have a few things coming up, but the one I want to point out, I decided yesterday, me and all Maya. Did you get that email?
Which?
The 21st. I'm doing a show through
the BCC. She doesn't watch your shows. She doesn't read your emails.
I changed what my show is. I was going to do a show with Megan Stalter, but I gave her the wrong date, and she can't do the right date. And I said, you know what? Fuck it. I've been writing a new batch of material that is the worst mentally stuff I've put out there since Career Suicide. I'm going to try it for the first time on the 21st at the BCC. And it's not, it's going to be.
The 21st of November.
Mm-hmm, yeah. It's going to crush me emotionally. I think there will be some funny stuff in the show, but also you'll see some really cringy moments.
Oh my God, I want to go.
That rocks.
And it's in a room where you can see everyone's faces while you're saying
I haven't been to the new BCC.
So we have a new space. New. Honey, we got a new space. It's awesome. And yes, you can see everyone's faces.
Oh, perfect.
But it's perfect. I think it's going to be perfect. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of
There's
stuff.
A new BCC.
This is true. I recently saw, I see multiple shrinks now, which nice. You're probably, those of you guys who know me are probably happy to actually
Yay,
hear
yeah,
that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really
Everybody's,
good.
There's been some genuine concern.
They offer you
concern.
Different kinds
yeah,
of counsel?
Yeah, different types of things.
I love it.
And the one drink, first of all, the shrink recently told me, I appreciated the poetic phrasing of this. She said, you are very clearly dancing on the rim of a major depressive episode.
Hey.
Dancing on the rim.
And then, something weirdly romantic about that, the idea
dancing
of dancing on
the
rim.
I know. And then
also like kind of sexual.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like when someone says like flirting with a major depressive episode,
yes,
you know.
Yes. And then she asked, I told some stories about my childhood that I was trying to like make real funny, and I'm able to do that. And then she stopped and was like, this is not normal. Tell me how you really grew up. And then I did. And she was legitimately disturbed. And I'm now going to tell a bunch of those very same stories that freaked out a psychological professional on stage. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. It was such a breath of fresh air. I think we can all agree that even talking about a serial killer who chopped off his fingers, at least Justin wasn't here muddling things up, shouting over the callers, big time and everybody. Anyway, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Huh? Justin, it's so good to see you. Oh my God, your Airbnb is beautiful. You should hear about the trip I had. I went in a car with a couple of crazies, but when I say crazies, I mean that so lovingly. I cooked, I prayed, I talked to Chris. I finally talked to Chris, outside of the podcast context, of course. It was nuts. It was awesome.
Stop. Who is you?
Justin, it's Maya. I'm your co-host on this CGP podcast.
Sorry, it's hard to see you because my sunglasses are tattooed to my face. Who is you?
What?
Give me a second, Mayo. Mariah, throw me a beer. And Jim, pass the duchy. It's Mariah Carey and Jim Carey.
Justin, what are you talking about? The duchy? What are you talking about?
Wait a second. Who you is? Don't matter. I gotta play Stratego with Angel Elgort.
Do you mean Ansel Elgort?
Actually, I think it's fuck you, get out of my face. Justin Bieber, join my book club, we're doing the Lovely Bones, you in?
Hollywood has changed you, Justin. It's changed you for the bad.
This is the life, Hollywood. Justin, you've arrived. Thank you for the martini, Martin Scorsese.
It's not what you know, it's just where you go, it's Planet Party Day.